If somebody was to ask me who is the best rookie, I would tell them I was.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at redrock_Beeble. We're going to have, it's the last regular season show of the year, clearly. Tomorrow we will have a show. There'll be a show for tomorrow, which is Thursday. There'll be a show for Friday as well, but it won't be in the standard format of the rest of the season. Because the season's done. We've got one day left in the regular season and then we head into the playoffs across the weekend. So to give you a brief overview of what's going to happen today, I'm going to go through the monstrous waiver, young gun, all that sort of stuff. A brief look over the box scores and talk about, interesting things that I see there. But more importantly, what I'm going to look at for you guys in seasonal leagues is who are the best streaming options for each particular category for Wednesday's action. Because that's all you really care about. It's one day. Where can I get those numbers? So we're going to talk about that. And then in terms of DFS stuff, it is a complete and utter absolute shit show for tomorrow. So I'm not going to go through and do the standard, you know, 5 to 7, 8 minutes on every single game. What I'm going to do is go through all of the confirmed ins and outs, how I think injuries will or will not go, and talk about some potential big opportunities for people. But of course, limit your exposure to zero. Zero exposure on DFS would be the way that I'd be looking at it. There is going to be players ruled out. There are going to be players that play and then play 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Random players play 48 minutes, like good old Az Harrison today. Just random shit popping up all over the place. But I will provide information about guys that are in and out, how I think things will go, what sort of lineups will be used, and talk about it in that way on tomorrow's show, which of course will be after the end of the regular season. Myself and Kyle McEwen, we're going to be going over, and I'm not sure what order I'm going to post these, but we're going to do two shows. We're going to do a show talking about all of the guys that we hit on in the preseason, like so which guys that we projected well, which guys we thought would be good value players that turned out that way. And we're also going to look at the flip side of things, which players didn't live up to our preseason expectation. Why did that happen? What did we get wrong? What can we do better? So that's going to be Thursday and Friday shows. Myself and Kyle talk about that. And then we'll be back next week with playoff DFS action. If you are in any of the Red Rock Dynasty leagues, all of the payouts have been distributed, so check your Fantrax accounts. All of those payouts have been sent to you. And for those of you in the Dynasty Leagues, we'll be doing the lottery drawings in the next couple of weeks. And then once the season rolls over and people are paid up for the coming year, then we'll reactivate trades throughout those leagues. So just a quick note to you that you guys in the Dynasty Leagues, Michael Bolton, you've been waiting patiently here in the wings. So let's have it now.
Let's get to it.
All right, let's do it. We will go into the monstrous line of the night. It does go to Johnny Wall of the Washington Wizards, 29, 7, and 12. 4 triples, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. 9 of 16 from the field, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. It's a great way for John Wall to end this regular season. I say end, yes, the Wizards do have a game on Wednesday. There is 100% chance of John Wall sitting in that one. He hasn't officially been ruled out, but there is no way that John Wall will be playing in that game. It's obviously been a disappointing year for Wall this year with the injuries limiting him to just 41 games. He's the 31st ranked player this season. And why has he dipped? Well, he's playing too fewer minutes per game this season. He saw his usage drop by 2 percentage points. His true shooting has dropped to a really abysmal 52%. But since he's returned, the shooting numbers have been better. 56% true shooting over the last 4 games in his return, averaging 20 points and 12 assists, which are numbers that are, you know, very similar to what he did last year. The other thing that's dipped for him this season are his steal numbers. He'd been at 1.8, 1.7, 1.9, and 2 steals for the past 4 years, down to 1.4 this year, which again just feels a little bit anomalous, as does the almost 8% dip in his free throw percentage. So he could be almost looking like a Victor Oladipo type for next year, where random defensive and free throw percentage issues cause a 20, 30 spot or 40 spot drop in Oladipo's case in rankings. And if Wall gets his free throws back to 80%, if he gets his steals back to two per game, if he gets his field goals back to 45 and he can play 75 games, then he'll easily be a top 15 guy. But that hasn't been the case, obviously, for him so far this season. The waiver wire line of the night is also the young gun of the night. And I did a tweet about a week ago saying which random player was going to get a monstrous line of the night down the end of the season. Alec Peters just missed out. So we've got one day for a really, really random ass player to go out there and put up a monstrous performance. But this was pretty bloody big from Alec Peters. It was big for him. It was big for the Mavs as well, as they overcame a large lead to turn it into a huge victory for them on the back of Peters. 36 points, 8 triples, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 12 of 20 from the field, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. The starting lineups and the rotations in this game were absolutely abominable as the Suns and the Mavericks filled out their season. Peters is a two-way guy. He was a second-round draft pick, pick 54 in the 2017 NBA draft, and very little of what he's done this season could have, you know, really given you any expectation of what happened today. He's averaging just 13-6 per 36 minutes on the season. No sort of blocks or steal numbers. Yes, his threes have been there and he takes a shit ton of them. He's actually averaging 3 triples per 36 minutes over the season. Of course, you know, very much exceeded that in today's game. He's a good free throw shooter, but in terms of how he projects moving forward, I don't think it's all that great. He's not really ever projecting to become a big time starting player who's top 150 or top 200 sort of a guy. But these are the sort of random performances that you guys who want your seasons to go to the very end of the season, this is what you want deciding your league. I can't talk enough sense to you to get you to stop doing that. But these are the sort of bullshit things that do happen at the end of the season. But shout out to Alec. Shout out to Suns fans who got to see Alec Peters' performance today. And again, shout out if your league is still going, because it 100% should not be. And this, I am in leagues that are still going, and I will be voicing my opposition to it as I do all the time. Any league that I start doesn't go this far. But these other leagues will be hearing my vociferous opposition to the end date of those leagues. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Draymond had 4, 3, and 3 with no steals, no blocks, 2 of 5 from the field, didn't attempt a free throw. It was far from a good night from Draymond Green, but he still does end the year as the 23rd ranked player, averaging 11, 7.5, and 7.5 with over a triple-one and decent enough percentages. You know that when you get Draymond Green, you're not getting scoring, but he did everything else that you would have expected of him. Almost identical numbers to last year, apart from a dip in steals, but he did get his efficiency back up, which was well down, took his true shooting from 52 back to 56%. So, you know, a successful season. You took Draymond as your second round pick. He provided that value. That's pretty much all you could ask for. Today's Warriors game was fairly poor from their standard as they got absolutely smacked by 40 points by the Jazz. Draymond played under 20 minutes in that game. Again, the sort of stuff that does happen at this time of the year routinely. All right, let's get into these games now and have a look if there's anything that bears, you know, really mentioning too much. The first game we're going to take a look at is the Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers. Hornets get the big victory. Game meant absolutely nothing to the Pacers. You know, looking over it, we saw Kemba get his minutes limited. Dwight played fewer minutes. We saw Malik Monk have another solid scoring game with 17 points. And I really do like Monk for next season. I don't know what's going to be happening with Kid Gilchrist, with Jeremy Lamb, with Batum. You would imagine the Hornets would be looking at any possibility to try and shake things up or move. None of those guys are free agents. But, you know, trades could be in the offing, and Monk has definitely stepped up. And you would imagine that at the very minimum, he takes over the backup point guard role for next season. Frank Kaminsky was also pretty strong, second in the team in usage, putting up 24 points in his 27 minutes. But overall, a pretty forgettable game from the Hornets, and season from the Hornets. On the Pacers side of things, this is what I expected to happen. No Oladipo, no Thad Young, no Bojan Bogdanović. limited minutes for many, many players. Miles Turner only the 21. So we've got Lance playing 33, the little dog Glenn Robinson playing 40, Daz Collison down to 28. That's the end for both of these teams' seasons. Regular seasons, of course, the Pacers do go on to the playoffs as they're locked into the five seed. There's very, very little that I need to tell you about this game. But a shout out to Edmund Sumner, who played his first 2 minutes of NBA action, a second round pick who was, like Alec Peters, a two-way guy, and finally, after battling some knee issues, got onto the court for the first time. So shout out to him. The Philadelphia 76ers kept on rolling in a victory against the Hawks. Dario Saric lasted 13 seconds before he was ruled out of the game. He suffered a cut lip and a cracked tooth. The Sixers do play again on Wednesday against the Bucks, and if they win that, they get themselves into the three seed, which of course they're going to be trying to do. So the roles of a lot of these guys are fairly consistent. We continually have seen Marco Bellinelli and JJ Redick step up offensively in Joel Embiid's absence, and it was the same again. 28 points and 6 triples with 5 assists for Redick, 20 points with 5 triples, a steal and a block for Bellinelli, and both of these guys are going to be valuable options on Wednesday. Ilyasova, 26 and 8 with 4 triples, a steal and 2 blocks, and he clearly is a must-own sort of a player. Fultz had 4, 5 and 3 and looks okay out there, but not really doing much fantasy-wise, while Benny Simmons had 14, 10 and 6, 2 steals and a block, a nicer performance, while Bob Cove's shooting wasn't there, but everything else was. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Rashawn Holmes still can't get anything going in what has been a really disappointing season for him. And I tweeted this out today. I'll say it now. You know my thoughts on the Rookie of the Year. I think I would vote Ben Simmons. I think it should be Ben Simmons. And I think Donovan Mitchell has had an absolutely fantastic, sensational season. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. Yeah, an excellent player, in fact. But one thing that is pissing me off just to an extraordinary amount is this Simmons is not a rookie bullshit. It is straightforward. He is a rookie. The NBA rules say he is a rookie. And if anybody does not vote for him for Rookie of the Year based on the fact that he is not a rookie, then they should not have voting privileges. It is as simple as that. You can't make up your own rules and criteria. You're simple. You can't do it. It's just not the way that goes. And it's not a handicapped rate. It's not a handicapped race. Oh, well, because Simmons had extra preparation, even though Mitchell hasn't had as good a season, based on having less preparation, it's maybe equal. It doesn't work. In that case, you could say, well, Josh Jackson deserves the Rookie of the Year because he plays for a shit organization who has failed to develop so many players, who's had coaching turmoil, and that's unfair to him because his coach got sacked. So based on the hardships he's undergone, maybe he deserves to win it. Or De'Aaron Fox, does he deserve to win it? Playing for Sacramento and behind veteran George Hill with an organization that hasn't made the playoffs in who knows how long with all sorts of dysfunction there. Is that a downplay on him because he didn't get the same opportunities as Mitchell playing in a stable organization? It's all bullshit. The rules are straightforward. And I have absolutely zero problem if you think that Donovan Mitchell has had a better season than Ben Simmons. If you think that he's had the better season than Ben Simmons and you think he's a better rookie, then you can vote for him. I disagree with it, but you can do it. But if you use any sort of reasoning that Simmons had a year to get stronger with NBA nutritionists and to watch practices, then it's wrong. It's simply wrong. Don't care. And people, the definition of rookie, literally one of the four major American sports, and I can even include the AFL here in terms of sports, their Rookie of the Year criteria is to do with the year you were drafted. Only one of them, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, the Australian Football League, none of those leagues use draft year as a criteria for being eligible for Rookie of the Year. None of them do, except for the NFL. So again, you can vote for Donovan Mitchell if you think he's had the better year. But if any of your reasoning is to do with the fact that Simmons isn't a true rookie, you're wrong. Simple as that. And that's my Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons rant over. Love them both. Absolutely fantastic. Doing well. I would pick Simmons. Nothing against Mitchell. But this reasoning is 100% bullshit. For the Hawks, The artist known as Taurean Prince, actually the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, 27 points, another 6 triples, another 6 assists. And that's been really impressive with him, have been the increase in playmaking. Now when Bazemore returns, when Schroeder returns, yeah, Prince will probably dip there a little bit, but I could easily make the case that Bazemore sees a much more limited role next season for this team because of the way that Prince is playing, but also the way that they used DeAndre Bembry, who had 7-4-7 with 5 steals. You know, I've talked about his fantasy upside for a long time. I don't think he's ever going to be an excellent NBA player, but his ability to rebound, get assists, get steals, and score decently efficiently can be really interesting to watch, and we saw that again today. The Baptist had 13-9-5. The Undertaker had 14-7 with 3 blocks. So good, solid production from those guys. Damo Lee and Tyler Dorsey did okay. Dorsey had 17 with 4 triples, but very little to look at those guys for as we move forward for next season. The Celtics got pumped by the Wizards. They play again tomorrow, both of these teams. I don't think we see Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, or Marcus Morris. I think we see limited minutes out of Terry Rozier, who was dealing with some finger and thumb issues in this game. So I would expect a lot of Greg Monroe, a lot of Aaron Baines, a lot of Shane Larkin, Jabari Bird, Abdul Nadir. John Gibson's a real, real deep flyer type of guy who does not give a shit and will jack up shots Jordan Crawford style. Shemi Ojeleye in the mix there as well. Maybe Gershon Yabusele if he is healthy. But I don't expect there's nothing for these guys to play for. They already had limited-ish minutes in this one. And Jaylen went off. He had 20-odd points in the first quarter, finished with 27. There is zero reason for these guys to play in Tuesday's action. Now, for the Wizards, Otto Porter suffered a calf strain. He won't play on Wednesday. I can 100% guarantee you that. It's not official, but he won't play. Johnny Wall, I don't think, will play. While Brad Beal's up in the air. Now, if Beal plays, he absolutely should not be playing regular minutes. I would guess low minutes in the 20s, and perhaps that makes him someone to drop. Yeah, the Wizards are still playing for a seeding spot between 6, 7, and 8, but on a back-to-back, is there any real need to push it? I don't think so. I don't think there's any necessity there. With Wall likely to sit out, Satoransky could be a guy that you go and grab. If Markieff Morris sits it out, Mike Scott becomes an option. Kelly Oubre will likely see a lot of minutes with Porter almost definitely out. Then you get guys like perhaps Jody Meeks, perhaps Timmy Frazier. Perhaps we do get a big Marcin Gortat playing time game. Maybe Jason Smith gets back into the mix. But I would imagine for both of these participants in this game, the Celtics and the Wizards, that a lot of these guys don't play tomorrow. Wall, Porter, Brown, Horford, Tatum, Morris. I don't think any of those guys play. And perhaps the other Morris is out. Perhaps Beal is out also. So just pay attention to that, because there's going to be some big, interesting moves in both of those teams' games. The Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks, just look at these lineups. The Suns started Dragan Bender, Shaq Harrison, Alex Len, Daniel House, and Davon Reed. They actually benched Tyler Ulis. That is how hard they were taking the tank, even though they couldn't go anywhere. They had the number one odds locked in. They started Shaq Harrison, who put up a good game, 18-4-10, but half of these guys aren't going to be on the team next year. Harrison, Len, House, perhaps Peters, Reed, any of these guys, so many of them won't be on this team next year. But I do have to give a quick shout out to Dragan Bender, who's looked really solid the last week or so. 15-13, 3 triples and 2 blocks. You know I'm a big Bender fan. It's taken him a while. He is still extraordinarily young. I believe he's still only 20. I don't think he's ever going to become a fantasy force, but he is showing that he can become an interesting NBA player. On the Mavericks side of things, again, Aaron Harrison played every single minute of this game. Shout out to Ray McCallum. 16-4 for Azar. Dorian Finney-Smith played 41. John Motley had 21-6. Kyle Collinsworth played 44 minutes. Jalen Jones played 35 minutes. This is absolute bullshit. The Mavericks are up big, and they just completely tanked it down the end to get themselves from the fifth worst record to the third worst record. Just absolutely embarrassing stuff. At least we got good news that Dirk Nowitzki will be back next year. But this is how piss poor this was from the Mavericks. Obviously, the pencil was out. Yogi Ferrell, who was their best player, they played him only 7 minutes. Dwight Powell, the second best player, 21 minutes. Both these teams are done for the year. The Warriors and the Jazz. The Warriors' season is done. More good play from Kevon Looney. 2 steals and 12 points in 21 minutes. He is going to be a factor. Really interested to see him next season, but I think he's going to be a part of their playoff rotation. Nick Young was piss poor again. Durant did very little. Draymond, Quinn Cook, Clay had 23 points on 27 shots. Just an absolute shit show of a game for the Warriors. Had 40 points about halfway through the third quarter. on the Jazz. They play again tomorrow, and they're in a relatively meaningful game. They play against the Blazers, and the winner of that gets the number 3 seed, which I think they'd be looking to do. Ravishing Rick still dealing with the hamstring, only 20 minutes, and I imagine he'll be decently limited again on Wednesday. He had 13-5-5 with 3 steals, while the Don had 22 in just 26 minutes with 4 triples on 67% shooting. Obviously, excellent efficiency there from Donovan Mitchell, but everyone's minutes were reduced because this game was over by halftime, pretty much. We even got 10 minutes of George Niang, who was drafted by the Pacers and signed for the Warriors, and now is in Utah. The only sour note here for Utah was Dante Exum having to leave the game with left leg soreness. Let's hope it's nothing serious, but there's a significant chance that he doesn't play on Wednesday, meaning that Hull, Neto, and Alec Burks could be in there, but that's still more of a deeper league spot because I think these guys are going to be going with a relatively regular rotation on Wednesday, meaning your Goberts and Favors and Dons and Jingle and Joes, and even Royce O'Neal perhaps gets a little bit of extra run with Rubio still limited. So just pay attention to that. The last game of the night, the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Mark D'Antoni said before the game that he was going to run a relatively regular rotation in this game and then probably rest players on Wednesday. Well, we still got 7 minutes of Tim Quarterman and 5 minutes of Joe Chi. So it wasn't fully a regular rotation, but I'd be pretty confident that Harden, Paul, Gordon, Capella, perhaps Ariza and Ryan Anderson and Nene all sit out on a Wednesday. That would be my guess. And then you're going to get a lot of RJ Hunter, Markel Brown, Tim Quarterman, Chinana Onwuaku, Tariq Black, Joe Chi, a bit of Joe Johnson, some PJ Tucker as well, and a shit ton, in fact, of Gerald Green. One player you won't be getting any of is Luke Marmute, who suffered a dislocation of his shoulder. Apparently, it is not as bad as the first dislocation that he suffered on a dunk earlier in the season, which is great news for the Rockets because he's obviously been a huge factor, and they should be able to get out of the first round without him. Hopefully, he's back there. But I don't imagine Paul or Harden or Capella or Gordon to be playing in Wednesday's game. For the Lakers, no Kuzma, no Ball, no Ingram, and that will likely be the case again on Wednesday, almost definitely. But they've got another Ingram. Andre Ingram, the 32-year-old out of the G League, was blistering. 19 points in 29 minutes, 4 triples, a steal, and 3 blocks. And you can say, Josh, that's fluky, and I agree. But this bloke's shooting 48% from 3 in the G League, so he is an absolutely bloody good shooter. So if you need some points, if you need some threes, Andre Ingram, now I haven't even looked, he's even available on places to add? Probably not. But if he is, worth a look. I think Brooke Lopez, Julius Randle, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will all see under 20 minutes on Wednesday, meaning more Ivica Zubats, more Tom Bryant, more Travis Weir, more Andre Ingram, more Josh the Hitman Hart, Alex Caruso, Tyler Ennis, these sort of players. Hart was great again, 20-7 with 2 steals. Caruso had 6 assists and 2 steals, and Ennis had 10-4-4 and 2 steals, and all of those guys can actually have some 12-team value. Well, if they give 28 minutes to Zubats, then that's a pretty clear 12-team sort of a player. But once again, another absolute shit show likely in progress for the games on Wednesday. So as I said, what I was going to do at this point now is go through, and it's all about adding players based on certain categories and which guys can help you. So I'm going to go through the major 8 categories in fantasy based on how I think things will go tomorrow and how the projections are looking at Basketball Monsters. So what players you can go and add. For the points category, I think the number one guy that we want to be looking at there is Gerald Green of the Rockets, who I think is in for a really huge role tomorrow. So I think he is one of those players that you want to go and add. The table, Montrezl Harrell, Marshawn Brooks, De'Aaron Fox, if he's around, Trey Burke, Dylan Brooksy Brooks as well, Luke Kennard, who's he's a must-own player with Reggie Bullock already ruled out. Kelly Oubre, Budrick Hield, JJ Redick, Punch Bob Shiploke, Greggy Munro. Play the sound.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
Tone Tolliver, I think, is a good option there as well if you're looking to stream in some points. There's going to be some weird performances from many different guys. Perhaps it's an RJ Hunter who can hit some shots. Ivan Rabb, Mario Hezonja. Maybe it is Andre Ingram again after another big performance today. These are all players who can have some contributions in the points category. Henry Allenson, Tim Quarterman. So there are quite a few guys out there who can be stream options for that category depending on the depth of your league. For the threes, the three-pointer category, Gerald Green's a fairly obvious one. Anthony Tolliver, there as well. Andre Ingram. Again, can't believe we're talking about Andre Ingram here. Budrick Hield, Josh the Hitman Hart, the Duke, Wayne Ellington, Lukey Kennard, CJ Miles is an interesting guy to look at for threes there. Sexy Boy, Sean Kilpatrick, Fred Van Vliet if he plays, but we don't know that yet. Shane Larkin, Tim Quarterman, Dylan Brooks, John Gibson is a little bit of a flyer. Ballinelli, an absolutely awesome option in Philadelphia for the three-pointers. Marshawn Brooks, perhaps Abdul Nadir, Cameron Payne, Henry Allenson, a bunch of guys who could have some value in that three-point category. For rebounds, Eric Morland, an absolute lock, I believe, with no Andre Drummond. He's a guy that you want to go and add there. Greggy Munro, the Cock Monster, Kylo Quinn, Will Cauley-Stein, if he hasn't been added. Then some more deeper guys, Rab, Baines, Harrell, that's the table. Joe Chi, an interesting guy there. Eddie Davis, Punch Bob, Ilyasova, of course. Boban might see extended minutes for the Clippers if they limit DeAndre, so he could be a really interesting player. Chris Felizio, Nanu Anwaku, is another player. Zubats, Ken Birch, a guy in Orlando who I really like a lot for this category as well. Let's look at assists, which often can be one of the harder categories to find off the waiver wire, but I think we're going to find some options here. Obviously, Rondo's a pretty straightforward one if he's available. Campaign, Thomas Satoransky, Jaron Grant, Timmy Frazier, Tim Quarterman, Shaney Larkin, Ryan Archer-Jackano, Kobe Simmons. There's quite a few players out there. Eric Morland's actually been getting a few assists himself. Marshawn Brooks, Caris LeVert's been upgraded to probable, so you can definitely go and have a look at him. Ishi Smith, Shelvin Mack, Pat Mills is another guy there. Kennard can help in that category. Quite a few options out there, but there are some clear stand. Trey Burke's obviously in that mix as well. For steals, we're looking at Corey Brewer, the number one option there. Kyle Anderson, Stan Johnson, Mario Hezonja, Cauley Stein, Marshawn Brooks, Budrick, Shane Larkin, Wes Johnson for the Clippers, RJ Hunter can get some steals, Eric Morland, Benny McLemore, Joshie Hart, Wes Iwundu, maybe one of the only categories he can contribute in. Again, quite a few options. There's going to be some weird minutes in many different places. For blocks, love Morland, love Joe Chi here, Kylo Quinn, Jarrett Allen, Montrezl Harrell, the Muppet John Henson, Jakob Poeltl, Jeremy Grant for the Thunder, I think's in a really good spot. Zubats, Bismack Biyombo, Jakar Sampson for the Kings, Deontay Davis with Marcus Gasol already ruled out, Eddie Davis, Tariq Black, Lukey Cornett, and Kem Birch. Field goal percentage and free throw percentage, it might be a little bit tough to influence these categories at this point in the matchup or in the season, but there are some options. The table Montrezl Harrell far and away the number one guy. You could also look at a guy like perhaps Gorgie Dieng if Taj Gibson is ruled out. Cauley Stein, Felizio, Rab, Greg Munro, Deontay Davis, Poeltl, Jarrett Allen, Mason Plumlee is a good field goal percentage guy. Larry Nance could really help in that area as well. Eric Morland, Marcin Gortat, Boban, Bismack, some interesting options. Amir Johnson perhaps as well as a field goal percentage influencer. And for free throws, really, this is not an easy one to find. Jeff Green, though,
my name is Jeff,
is an option who will likely play some decent minutes. Marco Ballinelli, Luke Kennard, Kobe Simmons, Jody Meeks is an excellent free throw shooter. Kelly Oubre, Mario Chalmers, Boban can help you in both percentage categories, so he could be someone to look at. Pat Mills, Courtney Lee, an excellent free throw shooter as well. Jamal Crawford, Spencer Dinwiddie, Justin Holiday, CJ Miles, Manu, if he plays, which again, we don't know that at this stage. So there are quite a few options out there for all those categories with many, many different things happening right across the NBA tomorrow. Now, I'm not going to do the standard 12-game individual game summary here for DFS because, again, do not play this slate for DFS. But what we're going to look at is just go through each game and talk about the injury situations that we currently know about and then go through some overall value type of guys. The first game, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Taj Gibson is listed as questionable for this one. Obviously, if he, and this is a must-win game for both teams, the most important game on the entire slate. If he is out, then Nemanja Bjelica and Gorgui Dieng get that value added in. I think Townsie gets a little bit of a boost there. Also for Denver, all hands on deck, although Gary Harris likely still on somewhat of a minutes restriction. We don't know what. The next most important game is Milwaukee and Philadelphia. I believe if the Sixers win this, they lock in the 3 seed. And we need to check the status of a couple of guys, Dario Saric, Gianni Antetokounmpo, and Matty Dellavedova. Be pretty stunned if Deli plays. I'd be pretty stunned, actually, if Gianni plays as well. I think Dario might be right to go, but could be a little bit limited, of course. If Dario's out, then Ersan gets a real ton of boost here. But this Sixers team, I think, is going to be going pretty balls to the wall to try and get this victory with the Bucks. I think they're a little ambivalent in terms of which way they prefer this game to go. Detroit and Chicago, absolutely nothing on the line in this one at all. Andre Drummond, or Blake Griffin's out. Andre Drummond is doubtful, so we're unlikely to see him. We already know that that Reggie Bullock is out for the Pistons. You've got Noah Vonleh ruled out for Chicago as well. The Spurs and the Pelicans, no Kawhi. Of course, that's really the only news, injury news there. The Knicks and the Cavs, Manny Moutier is out. Timmy Hardaway is doubtful. Enes Kanter, I don't think he is going to play. LeBron has said he will play. He hasn't said how many minutes he'll play, but he said he'll play. While Rocket Rodney Hood is questionable as well. And if Hood is out, it opens up some minutes for the Plumber, for Jordy Clarkson, and Jose Calderon there as well. Memphis and OKC, well, everyone's out for Memphis. No Marc Gasol, no Jermichael Green, no Tyreke Evans, no Andy Harrison. While Alex Abrines is in the concussion protocol, so it does seem unlikely that he will play there. For the Magic, John Isaac, Evan Fournier, John Simmons, they are all out there taking on the Wizards. And as I mentioned earlier, Otto Porter and John Wall are unlikely to play with question marks over Markieff Morris and Brad Beal. Brooklyn and Boston, I don't think we're going to get a ton of guys playing for Boston. So Jalen, Jason, Marcus, maybe Terry, maybe Al, maybe Marcus. Oh, I said Marcus Morris. Maybe those guys are out. For the Nets, Joe Harris is out. Well, Damari Carroll is out, while Caris LeVert is probable. I think we still get some pretty high minutes play from these Nets guys. So D'Angelo, Spencer Dinwiddie, the Blue Swimmer, Alan Crabb, Jarrett Allen, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. They're all fairly solid options here. For Boston, it's a complete, you know, dart, throw in the dark, pin the tail on the donkey. No idea. Those guys could play and play 15 minutes each, and then we get 35 John Gibson minutes off the bench. The Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat, the Raptors, another team with nothing to play for. We don't know what they're going to do rest-wise. Freddie VanVleet and Bebe Noguera are both questionable. I would assume we get lower minutes for Lowry, DeRozan, Ibaka, Valanciunas, all their important guys. And I feel like there's very little chance that VanVleet and Bebe play in this game. So we might be seeing Malcolm Miller, Alphonso McKinney. We might be seeing Lorenzo Brown, whose contract was recently converted to a full NBA contract, so he will be on the playoff roster. So that's an interesting thing there. Whereas the Heat, they've sort of been limiting their guys to a degree. Interesting to see exactly what they do here. There's no injuries as such in this lineup, but we could have limited Dragic, we could have limited Richardson, definitely Wade, maybe Tyler Johnson, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk. Very hard to pin them down, but they're still battling for positioning, but it's not as clear cut as some other situations. The Rockets and the Kings, there is zero chance, in my opinion, that Capella, Ryan Anderson, Marmute, Harden, Paul, zero chance that any of those guys suit up in this game for the Rockets, whereas the Kings are already without Skel Labissiere, Garrett Temple, Zach Randolph, all those guys are out already. So I think we're going to get big De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Justin Jackson, Willie Cauley-Stein, Jakar Sampson minutes, making those guys, I think, relatively safe from a DFS point of view. The Lakers take on the Clippers, and as I talked about, Kuzma, Ingram, Brandon, and Lonzo Ball all unlikely to play, whereas the Clippers have listed Austin Rivers and Lou Williams as questionable. Of course, the Rooster is out. That's Danilo Gallinari. If Williams, Rivers play, I think they're going to be limited, as will Toby Harris and DeAndre Jordan. I'd be absolutely stunned and floored if any of those players played over 7 minutes. Absolutely stunned. So there we're looking at Sindarius Thornwell. We're looking at guys like Wes Johnson, perhaps, Ty the List Manager Wallace, CJ Williams, Montrez the Table Harrell, and of course, Boban Marjanovic. And on the Lakers side, yeah, Andre Ingram, Travis Ware, Alex Caruso. Tyler Ennis, Josh the Hitman Hart as well. The last game of the night, another important one, the Blazers and the Jazz. Mo Harkless out. Dante Exum, we don't know whether he will play, but otherwise, it's full steam ahead. So a lot of confidence in the players here. Yes, their prices are going to be high, but in terms of cash lineups, these are the sort of players, along with the Sixers guys, along with the Nuggets guys, along with the Timberwolves guys, and to a lesser degree, I think players like on the Cavs as well, and on the Nets, you can have an element of confidence in the playing time they're going to get. So that's sort of a rundown of how I see all these injury situations panning out. Everything could change. Really, really minimize what you can do. But where do some guys like line up in terms of value picks? So if we're looking on FanDuel, a bunch of guys that you're only going to be looking at tournaments, but you know, really sub 4,000 Boston guys, John Gibson, Jabari Bird, Shane Larkin, they're some really interesting guys. I think a lot of the Boston and Washington players are a good value. You know, Munro, Oubre, Baines, and Satoransky, I think they can all be used fairly comfortably in cash games, given what I assume will be the way the Wizards and Celtics want to run their lineups. I like Paul George at 7,800. Mike Scott at 36, I think, has some pretty decent upside. Stan Johnson, Trey Burke, Dylan Brooks, Eric Morland, although his price is really high, 6,700. So that takes, even though the value is fairly steady, I'm not sure that value is quite high enough, but it is a nice matchup for him against the Bulls. LeBron, we just don't know the minutes for him, but at 12-1, he's absolutely a tournament type of a guy. Lauri Markkanen, D'Angelo Russell, Kylo Quinn, the Blue Arrow, Westbrook, Dinwiddie, Ivan Rabb. There's quite a few guys that do have some value over on FanDuel. On DraftKings, there's a ton of absolute minimum salary guys that you should be looking at. Andre Ingram is one of them. RJ Hunter, Joe Chi, Timmy Quarterman. All these guys are $3,000 and they've all got the ability to have 7, 8, 9, 10x sort of nights, perhaps even more. Whereas Eric Morland, the table Montrezl Harrell, Luke Kennard, they are all super low price guys who are absolute 100%, I believe, locks for cash games. I like Cauley Stein, Gerald Green, De'Aaron Fox, Nurkic, D'Angelo Russell, Dame Lillard. They are all strong cash locks as well over on DraftKings. And then you've got your maybe sort of guys like your Henry Allensons, your Shane Larkins, Abdul Nadir, Jabari Bird, Johnny Gibson. These sort of players who can have that sort of upside given the right situation and the right rests in front of them. I like Oubre quite a bit given the Otto Porter absence. Ivan Rabb, Jamal Murray, Bud Hield, they're all in some pretty strong spots as well. Marshawn Brooks, Gobert, Ntilikina, Benny McLemore, they all look pretty solid. But again, this is a shit show of a day. It's one of those days where half the games start at one time, the other half start at another. So you're going to have mixed slates. You're going to have tons of news flowing through, weird lineups. And just because a guy's playing like a DeAndre Jordan doesn't mean they're playing 30 minutes. They could be very, very much out there for 15 minutes or 16 minutes. Nothing is guaranteed in a lot of those cases, unless you get a situation like we had with Mavs Suns today, where there was just nobody active. And you knew that these players would have to play 40-ish minutes, like Collinsworth and like Az Harrison. And you could feel at least, hey, with only 7, 8 active guys, these guys are going to have to play and they are going to be relatively useful fantasy guys. I'm going to wrap it up there for today. Thank you for being with me all regular season. Hope you guys had success in DFS, in seasonal leagues. The podcast does not stop. If you don't listen to it, that's fine. Just keep downloading it. I think you should still listen to it because the people who do listen to it throughout the off-season, post-season, pre-season, I feel that they're the ones who are most successful in everything that they do because sometimes I'll just say things that I think or I feel that I observe. It comes at any time. And you might get a leg up on that during the preseason or the off-season or things that I've seen or things that I've heard that enable you to get a step up on your competition. And I'm sure the people that do listen through the off-season and preseason will attest to that there is quite a lot of interesting information. I'm going to be endeavoring to give you as much interesting information over this preseason, off-season, whatever you want to call it, time in the NBA. Good luck for the playoffs, watching the playoffs, your team in the playoffs, DFS in the playoffs, whatever you want to do. Good luck for that. If you've loved this podcast, if it's given you helpful advice, if you've won money, go and leave a 5-star rating. You can also contribute on Patreon at patreon.com/redrock_beeble. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, but subscribe. Download every episode, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube, where you can give me a thumbs up and leave a comment. Check out the Locked On Podcast Network shows every day, every team. Make sure you're checking them out. And of course, big thanks to Basketball Monster that many of you are members of. And I encourage all of you to become members of for next season to help you guys get the added advantage you need for your fantasy league. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jason Tatum.